Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. It still rings out, even with as few people as are here tonight. The fact is that Jesus Christ reigns over death. Last week, we spent 4 days going through the words about our Lord's passion. From St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we heard of the story of how Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, of how Jesus was led before Annas and Caiaphas, how Jesus was then led to Pilate, and how Pilate sought to free him, declaring that he was innocent of the charges. But they would not let it go. Even when Pilate offered a pardon, as he did every year, as our government continues to do, it allows those in that authority to grant a pardon. Jesus could have been pardoned, even though it would have been useless because he had done nothing wrong. And yet they cry for Barabbas. They cry out for a man who was an actual insurrectionist. One who had stormed the Capitol and one who had also murdered. He was a rioter. He had disrupted. He had threatened. And he had taken life. But they cry out to release Barabbas. And stirred up by the high priest, they cry that Jesus is the one that should be crucified. Jesus is the one who should receive the capital punishment for the crimes of the whole world. Peter denied him. Peter and the others fled from him. Their shepherd was struck, and the sheep fled. But in our first lesson tonight from Acts chapter 3, on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit rushes in upon the 12, Peter is delivering one of the best sermons ever recorded. And Peter says these words, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." The people gathered there today probably were a part of that crowd. They had been convinced by the chief priest to cry out the words, "Crucify him." Even when Pilate said, "Shall I crucify this just man? I find no fault in him." He goes on, "You denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Barabbas, a name that means son of the Father. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Yes, this Jesus whom you crucified, but he is alive. He is no longer dead, for death has no dominion over him. The Father has accepted his sacrifice, his payment, his atonement for the sins of the whole world. We are witnesses," Peter declares. "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance." He gives them a way out. He says, "I know that you didn't do this on purpose. You were simply being led this way. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." It had to be this way. Jesus Christ had to be delivered into their hands. He had to be delivered to Pilate. He had to be pronounced guilty, even though he had committed no sin. He had to be nailed to the tree of the cross that all things might be fulfilled. But even though you were ignorant, you must still repent. Even though you were ignorant, he says, repent therefore and be converted. Believe that this Jesus whom you crucified is the salvation of the world, that your sins may be blotted out. Ignorance does not get us out of believing in Jesus. And I know that that's one of the hardest things for us to believe and understand. That the nations throughout the world who do not know Jesus, that in their ignorance, they shall still see God face to face in the resurrection. And yet, because they have rejected, because their fathers had rejected, they will not be with him in paradise. And so while it is still day, we are called by his name to go out and proclaim that message to all nations, to the whole world. Our gospel lesson for tonight, written by St. John, has some very fun tidbits in it. And I say that because you have to remember St. John is the author of this gospel, and he works himself in. Now, it is important that we see that after Jesus has risen from the dead, he goes to his disciples who are behind locked doors. We know that story. In fact, that will be our gospel lesson this coming Sunday. All but Thomas is with them. And then on the next Sunday, again, as we'll hear on Sunday, Thomas shows up and he appears to them again. This now is the story of the third time he comes to them, presumably once again on a Sunday. And while the text doesn't explicitly say that, it would follow. So Peter says, I'm going to go do what I enjoy to do. I'm going to let off a little bit of steam. I'm going to go fishing. And so a bunch of them say, let us go too. They spend all night in the boat and they catch nothing. But then at the word of the man from the shore, a man that they don't quite recognize, not just yet, says, let it down on the other side. Jesus had done this before. He had given them a miraculous catch of fish. And upon doing what this man commanded, the fish come in abundance. 153 of them. And so the author, and you know it's him because St. John writes, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. He proclaims out the fact that this is the Lord, this is the word that has given us these fish. And I want us to take a look at how Peter reacts, because quite honestly, it's how we should react. Too often in the morning when the day is coming, we stumble, we groan, we moan, Lord, I am tired. Lord, I have a million things I need to do today. And yet we should run like Peter. Peter grabs his outer garment and he plunges into the sea and he swims as fast as he can to his Lord. He swims as fast as he can to Jesus. St. John writes, but the other disciples came in the little boat. And it's a way for him to say, look, I would have done the same thing, but look, here's the thing. They were not far from land, only about 200 cubits. Somebody had to bring the fish in. So while John would have done this, he was doing the fishing. He was taking the fish in. The boat was not that far. But you'll recall that John and Peter had another time when both of them ran out to that tomb. And John writes that he got there first because he is faster, because he is younger. But Peter goes in first. Yes, Peter sticks his foot in his mouth. Yes, Peter denied him three times. Yes, Jesus would say to St. Peter, get behind me, Satan. But Peter absolutely does love his Lord. And at his presence, he runs. He swims as fast as he can to him. St. John writes, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. But it would not be his last. On the 40th day, and we'll celebrate that on Thursday night, Jesus will ascend up into heaven and he will give his disciples a command. He will command them and he will commission them to go out into all nations and to make disciples. And to do that, they will baptize, they will teach them all that he has commanded. Run to Jesus. Run to him who has life, who has salvation. Run to the one who has conquered death on our behalf. Run to the one who has conquered our own death. Because he lives, we shall live too. The church sings, Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.